Thanks for downloading the Southwest View podcast. I got a question for you real quick. Could the market's blind spot put your retirement at risk? Investors and advisors are really focused on AI and inflation and conflicting headlines, but what if the real risk to your portfolio is something the market is not seeing? Join my friend Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, for his free Market Blind Spot live webinar coming up July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. Zach is going to expose blind spots investors might be overlooking, maybe you. He's going to talk about threats to portfolios in the months ahead and maybe your portfolio, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is absolutely focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So have your questions answered at Zach's Market Blind Spot webinar, July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. It's live and it's free. All you have to do is register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube and at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed. Future results, Truck 26-111. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. He has one problem, sin, and one solution, Jesus Christ. And that's why we do the program. And speaking of sin, let's see, lording power over others, lying, coveting, murder. Those are some fairly distinct sins. The Fauci diaries. I'm a little bit obsessive about the technocratic medical state. I admit this, and we'll probably talk a bit about this week, given that what we see in the diaries is a man who is a sociopath. I don't say that lightly. I don't say it to be titillating. It's just observe. You're not going to find any discussion in Fauci's diaries, at least not yet. No one's found any. I haven't seen any. Of him expressing curiosity about a scientific process or a discovery or a discussion. I see a series of lies revealed that anybody who is paying close attention to this knew were lies. For instance, the notion that the injections that he liked to call vaccines, which never were vaccines, never are, haven't been, never will be. He liked to pretend that they were 98% safe and effective. He made note of the fact that they weren't that. In a long diary entry, August 13, 2022, he talks about more drama with regard to the CDC and Rochelle Walensky. After much going back and forth between the CDC and other docs, including me, Vivek, Steve Cha, and to some extent, David Kessler. I'll stop the Fauci imitation because it annoys some people. We thought we'd gotten them pulled back from making the statement that the so-called vaccines were not effective at all in preventing infection and transmission. The reason this is an issue is if they came out with that statement, which is in fact not entirely true, since there is some small degree of modest but declining protection, as you would expect, then this would conflict with the statement and effort of recommending that people get the updated bivalent BA.5 so-called vaccine in September. Did you hear his words? He's lawyering. They do not stop transmission and infection. Never have. They weren't designed to do that. How did I know that? because I read the Securities and Exchange Commission filings from these companies. As I recall, it was under the risks portion of those statements. We have no reason to believe that these will stop transmission or infection. They are therefore not vaccines. And Fauci continues in this. The CDC agreed to pull back on the statement of absolute efficacy of so-called vaccines against infections and transmission and take a more measured approach of saying that the so-called vaccines provide only modest and waning efficacy against infection and transmission. And this is why we should heed the advice of getting the updated booster in September. In other words, get a booster of something that doesn't work. And now we know the boosters made people even more sick. When Larry Horowitz and Ashi noticed this, Larry went off the wall and in a somewhat agitated manner, called me up this AM and said, this is the last straw. And he was sure that when Ron Klain gets back from Spain, he would fire Rochelle Walensky. Why? Because she was speaking some truth. So what you see in the Fauci diaries are a man completely focused on main character syndrome. He, Tony Fauci, is the main character. Oh, then there's this. This is from Peter Daszak. So a little background on Daszak. When I describe someone as mobbed up, what I mean is they have connections at the highest portions of Washington, D.C. They have a breadth of connections. They know secrets other people don't know. They could ask for favors other people don't get to ask for, or if they do, would never be considered. They have funding sources predicated upon a brilliant business model. And the business model is this: if you want more money, take it. Mobbed up. The right friends. Fauci, on one of the many times he knowingly lied to the public. Fauci had said that they'd stop gain-of-function research. Here is a note from Peter Daszak, who Peter Daszak was in the background of all of this. There were people who were trading patents, intellectual property around these poisonous, horrible mRNA shots, which are continuing to kill people and cause miscarriages and turbo cancers, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. He was among those people, the intellectual property trading, the making sure that they were going to get ahead of the money on this, the research grants. He was right in the center of all that. Monday, July 11, 2016, Peter Daszak wrote to some people at the National Institute of Health and Tony Fauci's division of that. The people's name, Jenny Greer, Aleski Sharma, and CC'd a bunch of people. Here's what Peter Daszak wrote. Dear Jenny, this is terrific. We're happy to hear that our gain-of-function research funding pause has been lifted. Cheers, Peter. Interestingly, he wrote gain-of-function in capital G, capital F, as in a legal term, a contractual term. And right there is a grant number. 2016, they turned the funding back on for gain-of-function research to that grant number, apparently. Tony Fauci told himself, while he was speaking to the person he loves the most in the world, whose name is also Tony Fauci, he told himself the infection fatality rate from the COVID shots, probably not the COVID shots, from the COVID flu, was 0.2 to 0.3% of people who got infected. Publicly, Tony Fauci was saying it was going to be 2 to 3% of people. He knew he was lying by orders of magnitude. And incidentally, so did a lot of people. Tony Fauci should be arrested when he steps into D.C. tomorrow. When he walks into Congress, they should slap handcuffs on him and frog march him to a cell. They should charge him with at least negligent homicide, medical assault, assault, theft, taking and giving bribes. This is a man who wrote emails to people to whom he had given your money, $1.2 billion in some instances, your money, and asked them to nominate him for prizes from which he would win millions of dollars. Bribery. And I'm not a DOJ lawyer, but there'd be many other charges. Fauci has the names of pharma executives, Department of Defense leaders, generals, intelligence officials who helped with this. So that's not going to happen. It should. Tony Fauci will never escape God's justice. And he should be thankful. We all should, because we all need the redemption. All of us have fallen short. Most of us don't get to murder people with shots. Perhaps 17 million people and counting. Most of us wouldn't. We should all be thankful that the blood of Jesus, he's made that available to us, which we can wash ourselves or allow him to wash us, to justify us, cleanse us, sanctify us, so we don't get what we deserve, but rather we get love we cannot earn. Fauci would be wise to open a Bible and read about some of the horrible kings who abused their authority. He would be wise to go read about a guy named Saul, not the king Saul, but before he became the Apostle Paul, Saul the Pharisee, who went about murdering Christians. He would do well to read the Damascus Road story of the Lord Jesus visiting then Saul and blinding him and introducing himself as Jesus who he's persecuting. And Fauci would be wise to consider, in fact, would be wise to open his heart and get to his knees and beg forgiveness. He won't. I mean, God can make him do it. For humans, it's impossible. For God, everything is possible. Do you think he will? The people who surround him should be brought in. Rochelle Walensky, Debbie Birx, Francis Collins, Robert Redfield, all of them. Daszak, Ralph Barrick, all of them. Gates, all of them. All of them. They all knew. RFK Jr. revealed something really interesting. It turns out that Tony Fauci knew a guy who got really, really sick after the injections. And that guy's name is Tony Fauci. The person Tony Fauci loves most in the world is Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci went and got a very public injection. Now, to me, this is really interesting because I was halfway convinced that the Fauci didn't get a real injection, but apparently he did. Because within 5 months after he got an injection, RFK Jr. said, Tony Fauci developed a pulmonary infraction, which is one of the adverse events. Fauci apparently got private treatment, according to RFK Jr. He never told anybody. But man, did he brag in his diary about getting to brief comedian and actor Chris Rock about the COVID progress. You know, Ozzy Osbourne, some people think he accepted Christ before he died. Remember Ozzy? Man, I hope that's true. One of his most famous albums is Diary of a Madman. Fauci's not a madman. He's not insane. He's a sociopath who knew the shots were not vaccines, who knew the masks did not work, who knew he paid to create the virus, it seems. He knew all of these things. He knew the lockdowns didn't work. He knew the infection fatality rate was nothing like 2 or 3%. He knew all of this. But, as he notes in his diary, I am, by about any measure, the most famous person alive right now. Infamous. And God knows all the details. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and we'll get to the Tire Babbling Interpersonal Notes next segment. We're called to be in the world and not of it, and we're going to work our way down into something to talk just about that. And I want to set the groundwork here. The Lord Jesus created every human being. Jesus is part of the triune Godhead. God the Father, the Builder, Jesus, propitiation for our sin, the Son, Holy Spirit present within us, all of them, the triune Godheads, and always have been together, always will be together. They were never created. They never needed to be created. They've always existed. They have these separate personalities, express themselves in different ways. And so in being created in God's image, there is no reason for us to walk around obsessed with race. In the body of Christ, it doesn't mean that there aren't people who look a little bit different. It doesn't mean that there aren't different languages and cultures. Again, different languages, that was us. We decided to ignore what God told us to do, once again, to try to be like him, and hence the Tower of Babel. Okay, try it now. I'm going to scramble your languages. But on the topic of race in the body of Christ, Jesus does not view us that way. Because we're a body. Your thumb is not a foreign object to your heart. Nor is your foot a foreign object to your brain. It's all one. In the body of Christ, we are all one. That's why we hear there's neither Greek nor Jew, nor servant nor master. It's not that in the world people don't have those roles. There are servants and masters. There are bosses and employees. There are people who look different than you do and I do, and there are different cultures. But in the body of Christ, none of those things particularly matter. We accept the gift of being readopted or adopted into God's family. And with that, we're given kind of a spiritual DNA, a writing over of ourselves, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, becoming, if we'll allow it, our animating force more and more and more as we are more and more abiding with Christ and more sanctified. So I want to set the table there as we move through these news stories. Notice the thread. Listen to this news report covering all the grocery stores shutting down in Chicago.
I know the struggle. I was there. I saw it. So it's like, man, another blow to the community, and ain't nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, we have nothing. You know, so I don't know what we're going to do. There's nothing around here. No stores. This is basically the only store you can come to, you know, that you get fresh produce and, you know, get groceries for little or nothing.
So 7 stores shut down in 1 weekend. Grocery stores in 1 weekend. This is despite the fact that the city spent $14 million to keep them open. This is white racism. This is Trump. This is Orange Man Bad. This is white supremacy. Now, interestingly, the residents in those comments, they didn't really say that. And it's also interesting because I didn't see a white commenter. I saw black people being affected by this. I read commentary from white people saying that this is a true and clear sign of white racism. Why are the stores shutting down? Because they can't stay open because people constantly steal. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And we in the body of Christ are to be there for people who need our help. As you treat the least of these, so you treat me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in jail and you visited me. So if we combine these things together, we in the body of Christ have an opportunity in Chicago to step in and say, hey, you know what? While this is getting worked out, we have food kitchens because Christ has been so good to us. The Lord has blessed us so much. We hope that you'll come in and we hope that you'll let us have the joy of helping you in this because none of this belongs to us. All of this has been given to us to manage. And man, we would love the opportunity to get the chance to give you some of what God's given us. That's one end of this. The other end of this is back to our topic at hand, race. In the body of Christ, the thumb is not a foreign object from the tongue. The brain is not a foreign object from the kidney. All one body. How does Satan treat our various members of our body? I'll be careful. He thinks that there's certain members of our body that should run things. Our flesh. Sometimes it's aspects of our personality. The desire to lord our power over others. Coveting, sneaking, lying. Sexual sins. What does he want in the body of the people created by God? Not necessarily the body of Christ. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Hence, you see the theft, large-scale theft that is shutting down these stores. They cannot make a profit. Hence, you see the focus on color. I will never capitalize the word B unless it begins a sentence in black referring to a person. Because I refuse to have the words of the enemy in my mouth. Black is not a race, it is a color. The reason that the race hustlers who are doing the bidding of Satan want to capitalize letter B in black is because they don't want to talk about Ethiopian people, Western Ethiopia, Eastern Ethiopia, Sudan, Mogadishu, Somalia, West Africa, South Africa. They don't want to talk about cultures. They don't want to talk about Egyptian, black Mexican Egyptian people. They don't want to do that. They want one color so they can pretend it's a race, so they can pit it against another color, white. A light shines in the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Christ is that light. In the body of Christ, none of this matters. We are one body, but look at what the Satan is doing. And look at how politicians step in and help it along. Case in point. The Smithsonian National Museum actually classified a lot of things as white supremacy.
Self-reliance. The nuclear family. Objective, rational, linear thinking. History focusing on the success of Western civilization over other cultures. Hard work as the key to success. Planning for your future and managing your time appropriately. Celebrating Christian holidays like Christmas. White culture. Justice. Just as a concept, including common law and protection of private property. Making decisions. Avoiding conflict and prioritizing intimacy with people you care about. And being polite. How white of you.
Did you hear, I think we played this maybe last week. Did you hear Brandon Gill, Congressman Gill, ask the director of the Smithsonian whether she's a polite person and if she thinks being polite is important? She said, yes. Yes, I do believe being polite is important. And he said, are you a white supremacist? Because one of the guideworks of the Smithsonian Institute indicates that being polite is white supremacy. What are we told as a body of Christ? How are we to interact with others? The tongue is a two-edged sword, isn't it? We're cautioned that the tongue can lead us to sin. Out of the same mouth that we praise the Lord Jesus, that we praise God, that we thank God, that we beg for God's help and forgiveness. Out of that same mouth, we look at people God made in His image. And we look at them and say, fools, filth, irredeemable. The biblical phrase, I think it's raka, worthless. You know, if you've ever had a kid struggle, really struggle, you could have disappointment, fear, anger, resentment, maybe moments of rage. How dare you? Did you ever get utterly worthless? Ever get that? Or in those times, thank God, I've never, we had challenges as a family, for sure. I never had to face that. Violence and harming of others. And people I know have. But then they see their little boy in their eyes, their little kid. Even if they're 30, 40 years old. It's my little boy. Not worthless. So it's been a long road here, and there's people who've helped this division along. So when Satan took Jesus Christ, when God allowed that to happen, and Jesus was in the desert for 30 days, and Satan took Jesus and offered him a bunch of things that were all counterfeit because not his to give, his to loan. And he tempted Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then turn those stones into bread. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high place, for it is written that you're, I have to paraphrase this part, I didn't memorize this, that not, you know, he will not be bruised, angels will prevent that. Totally paraphrasing, my bad. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then Satan took him to a tall tower, a high place. All of this I give you. Everything, if you would just bow down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written, love the Lord your God with your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength. He resisted the devil and the devil fled from him. Until a more opportune time. I bet Satan thought it was the cross. Oh, I got him now. Dope. He didn't. But there are people who've given into this. Back in the day when Barack Hussein Obama was running for president, there were a lot of us whose minds were blown because we're saying, do you know that he launched his political career in the home of Bill Ayers? Do you know this? Bill Ayers and his wife were unrepentant, for real, domestic terrorists, the nail bomb sort of domestic terrorists, the planting of explosive devices in police stations, explosive devices embedded with nails and bolts, shrapnel, to not just kill police officers, but to maim them. Those sort of domestic terrorists, that's who they were. Bill Ayers is still that, in my judgment. He was part of the Weather Underground. Saul Alinsky, an ideological partner, taken to a tall place. All this I will give you. I'll take it. Dedicates his first book to Lucifer. He took the offer. I think Bill Ayers took the offer. Incredibly smart man, Ayers. Ayers once said in a famous interview, I remember this picture of him in Rolling Stone magazine standing on an American flag. Pardon the language, please. I'll say it this way, actually. Bill Ayers said, I'm paraphrasing, guilty as Hades, free as a bird, God bless America. It's a long time getting here, and there are people who've helped Satan along the way. Here is the Weather Underground's Bill Ayers talking about his trip to Cuba, wherein Vietnamese revolutionaries helped shape the group's messaging.
When we were mobilizing against the war in Vietnam, before we were underground, a group of us met with the Vietnamese revolutionaries in Cuba. And they said, at one meeting, they said, write on the chalkboard what you think the primary slogan should be for the anti-war movement. And one person walked up and wrote, end the war in Vietnam now. And one walked up and wrote, bring the war home now. And they said, it can't be both. Figure it out. And I thought that was a really profound understanding, that they were saying, what's the primary contradiction? Who's in your tent? And we're not good at that. We're not good at saying who's in our tent.
Bring the war home. Bill Ayers is part of a group of people who works in the universe that sent the creators of Black Lives Matter Incorporated into the Middle East to train with Hamas, because they had the same struggle. It wasn't long, by the way, that's all written about in Ebony Magazine. And they touted it as this great thing. It wasn't long after that that Black Lives Matter Incorporated searched for and found Michael Brown, a guy who tried to murder a police officer, capital B Black, and Satan had yet another opportunity to distort, distract, and depress. And we have one more opportunity to remember, our enemies are not flesh and blood, but the dark spiritual forces in the spiritual realm, and our solution is the armor of God. We'll come back on the Disciples View.
Thanks for downloading the Disciples View podcast. I got a question for you real quick. Could the market's blind spot put your retirement at risk? Investors and advisors are really focused on AI and inflation and conflicting headlines, but what if the real risk to your portfolio is something the market is not seeing? Join my friend Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, for his free Market Blind Spot live webinar coming up July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. Zach is going to expose blind spots investors might be overlooking, maybe you. He's going to talk about threats to portfolios in the months ahead and maybe your portfolio, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is absolutely focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So have your questions answered at Zach's Market Blind Spot webinar, July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. It's live and it's free. All you have to do is register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube and at Know, that's K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed. Future results, Truck 26-111. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the tire babbling and a personal note here in just a moment. Just a couple of quick cleanup items, as it were. This nurse is an American nurse, and she's become completely either aware of what's being done to her profession or maybe demoralized when facing the so-called vaccine system in America.
I feel like I've just unlocked a new level of awakening, and normally I would be so scared to talk about vaccines because someone's going to label me anti-vax, but I literally don't care anymore because the truth is out there and it's right in front of our faces. You can look on the inserts and it's literally aborted fetuses in the vaccine ingredient list and all these other animal cells. I watched this 2-hour lecture and he broke it down so factual and by timeline and connected the dots of everything. And I looked everything up myself and it's all true. I'm gonna be posting stuff soon about this, but long story short, Roe v. Wade was not meant for women's rights. It was not made to protect women and their bodies, to give them the opportunity to have an abortion if they need it. That's not the point of Roe v. Wade. The propaganda is real. It all makes sense. And it's so disgusting that they're using aborted fetuses to make our vaccines. Anyone who thinks otherwise, like, I don't care anymore. Yes, I'm anti-vaccine.
Many people knew this, particularly in the American Family Radio audience, given the work of the Wildman family and this network and some of the partners we work with here, Preborn. Well, a lot of us knew this. What's interesting to me is that a nurse didn't. Until she had to face some of the things we talked about in the first segment, the Fauciization of the medical world. And man, I hope I don't annoy you this week. I have a thing about Fauci because of what I watched him do to families. And I cannot, there's things I can't get out of my mind. I interviewed a nurse and her big medical company had been the place where when she got a vaccine for something many years before COVID and she had anaphylactic shock, really bad case of anaphylactic shock. She had to be revived. You know, they had to use the heart paddles, the shockers, forget what those are called. And then she had to go into the hospital where she worked as a patient for months. And then they transferred her to a work from home position. I mean, that's all very cool. They treated her. She said it was excellent care. She was really proud of the team, really proud to work there. She'd been a floor nurse, you know, walking the floors, energetically taking care of patients. She felt really blessed. And she had great insurance, so it didn't cost her much. But she couldn't do floor nurse work anymore. She was too damaged by the shots. So they allowed her to work from home. And she was approving medical claims and paperwork and doing some other things that befit her seniority. And then COVID happened. Or let me rephrase that. Then the Department of Defense and Tony Fauci and Bill Gates and Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak and the media decided to push the COVID PSYOP. And she was told that she had to get the COVID shots. She consulted the ingredients because she got a hold of one of the inserts that few people ever saw. And she looked at this. She sent it to her doctor who worked for her company. And her doctor who worked for her company said, you'd be insane to take these shots. These could kill you. These have too many of the same ingredients as the shots that nearly killed you. Do not take these shots. Do you know what she was told by management of her company? We don't care. Take the shots. But I work from home. I don't even see patients. I don't even go in anywhere near the hospital. We don't care. Take the shots. And they were threatening to fire her until I had her on the program and brought some attention to this, and they got scared and they backed off a little bit. But she had to do PCR testing every week. She never went to the hospital. She was never around patients or colleagues. There was a gentleman who had been a police officer, state patrolman, and then firefighter, and he became a chaplain for all the firefighters in a western state. He was a couple of months from retirement, fully vested retirement. And they told him you have to take the shots. His doctor said, with the number of heart attacks you had, the reason you stopped being an active duty firefighter and became a chaplain is because of the number of heart attacks you've had. No, do not take the shots. State of Washington said, we don't care. We do not care. Take the shots or they fired him. They stole his pension. Fauci stole his pension by extension. So I might be a little bit touchy, or as the kids would say, spicy. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand. People like, well, I represent science itself, Fauci. We do that with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, formerly known as MSNBC until they burned that brand out. MS Now is upset that the GOP is calling out the Democrat Socialists of America.
I think there's a situation where a wave is coming, but it may not go as far as it normally goes.
Way in here.
So
communism is coming. That's what they're telling us. Maybe they know because Trump knows a lot about oligarchs.
Yes, and some of his policies, by the way, are far more socialistic than they are capitalistic.
Bingo.
But this triggered me when Marco Rubio started talking about communism, Mike Johnson starts talking about communism, the president starts identifying the Democrats as communism.
Well, let's see. Zoran Mandami has put in place plans that will end up with the government seizing private homes. His housing, one of his housing people has said as much, we should seize private homes. Not her mom's, which is a multi-million-dollar mansion, of course, but other people's. The government-run grocery stores are designed to put out of business private grocery stores. Some of them, these little bodegas run by families. Yeah, but communism? I mean, they want to do away with the Senate. They want to get rid of the Senate entirely. They want to pack the Supreme Court with 30 statists. But yeah, that's not anything like communism. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is, I have to remember her. Oh yeah, Hillary Clinton. Way back in the day.
As to illegal aliens, we agree with you that... we do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
What difference at this point does it make? No, it's just good to look back and remember a time before math took over and the Democrats said, we should be the party that hates single white men and loves everybody else. Or not single white men, but white men and loves everybody else. Straight white men. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Anne Hathaway, isn't she an actress of sorts? Yeah, Anne Hathaway would have you call abortion mercy.
When you are a young woman starting out your career, your reproductive destiny matters a great deal. My own personal experience with abortion, and I don't think we talk about this enough, abortion can be another word for mercy. We don't know. We don't know. It's not a world in which we know that no two pregnancies are alike, and it follows that no two lives are alike. That follows that no two conceptions are alike.
How does it get to the mercy part? I mean, I guess in the incredibly rare instance, and I know people for whom this has been a reality, I do, where it's the choice of their life or the baby's life. Is that mercy? I don't know if I could make that decision. Could you? I don't know. I think I'd have to side on the side of the baby. Maybe that's because I know where I'm going. To Jesus. But mercy, I don't think the little baby feels that way. If you've ever watched an abortion. If you haven't, maybe do. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Muslims are the face of modern day Britain. The religion of Islam is one of peace.
That was the Tower of Babbling. On a Disciple's View.
Okay. On a personal note today, it's always interesting when I get an opportunity to travel and spend time in a vehicle and drive across the state where I used to live. Last week, I went over to Western Washington, very quick in-and-out trip. I didn't even get to see my dearest brother, who it just breaks my heart. And but in that travel, do you ever just shut your mind when you're on the road? There's something about this that I so enjoy. I've been listening to a book on tape, been listening to sermons, but for about 100 miles, I just turned everything off. And I let the road take over. And I did this through a pretty picturesque part of Washington State up through Snoqualmie Pass. If you've not been there, it's really extraordinarily beautiful. And the things the mind is drawn back to. When I was a little kid, and we'd take those trips, it was often in my dad's Ramblers. My dad had this affection for cars that other people made fun of. Ramblers were one of them. AMC Javelins were another. He thought they were unappreciated powerhouses. And some of those Javelins, I'm telling you, with the 380s in them, those things could flat haul. Just a little bit of tweaking to the engines and some race cams. He was right about those. But the Rambler, ugly car. It was just truly ugly. And my dad adopted them. And I remember sitting in the back seat of the Rambler. You with my mom and family members. And they were huge. It's like a bedroom back there. But I remember everything was okay because my dad was driving. And intermittently, I might hear my mom say something about slow down. I got it. And it was okay. And going across the state, I started to think about those cars. My dad and his reject cars. He rescued AMC Javelins and intended to restore them during retirement. He died too soon for that. I think he had 6 or 7 of them. I had the privilege of buying him a really nice one in Seattle that didn't take a lot of restoring. He ended up driving that for a while. Those cars. See, my dad rejected himself because he was obese. Full stop. That's why. And he was told as a young boy, and his mom meant well, but she would say things to him like, hey, don't get angry. You're too big. You could hurt somebody. Don't get angry. So he stifled that, shoved it down inside. The other kids could get angry, but not him. He was too big. There was the doctor who wanted to put my dad on speed because he was too big. So I started to think about those reject cars. But then I remember this beautiful moment in this silly little two-door blue Rambler with this white velvet roof. My dad had taken us driving out on the race course, the racetrack after the races. He was going slow. There was no one out there. He just wanted his kids to get a feeling of the high banks because he wanted us to race. And I did end up racing there. And some guy came out with track security and a big high-rise pickup. And he was honking his horn. He had all these lights on there. My dad said, I think this guy wants me to stop. And so my dad stopped. And this guy climbed out of his truck. This guy, and I'm not trying to body shame people. I'm not. This guy might have been 4'8", 4'9", maybe 5'5", 5'1". Gets out, hammers on my dad's window on that silly little Rambler. And my dad says, I think he wants me to get out. And my dad took off the Ramblers. If you're taking off a tight T-shirt and all 6'4" and about 360 pounds of my dad steps out. Yeah, did you want something? I said, sir, I think maybe you don't drive on the track. Okay, I'll do it. Thanks for coming to help me. I guess the Ramblers sometimes had a different reason for existing. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.